Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to another wonderful adventure in the world of personal stories, personal success, and the love letters that go with them.
Because this is Love Letters Live.
Yes, this is Love Letters Live. Did we forget to say that?
I think we did, but now we have.
Thank you. I'm so excited about this next guest. Okay. And I'm just going to go right to you, but first I want to say that we like to stress that love letters are for not just for romance, but for anyone at any time, for any reason you have something good to say to somebody about that somebody and how that person has affected your life. So I'm going to go right to Gina Frommer, who is the executive director of the Bayview Hunters Point YMCA in San Francisco and a recent Jefferson Award winner. So, Gina, I'm just going to ask you to tell what that award was for and what you do at the YMCA.
Well, the award was an acknowledgement really by community of the support and commitment that the YMCA of San Francisco has to the Bayview Hunters Point community in moving its mission of building strong kids, strong families, and strong communities forward over the next 20 to 30 to 100 years in that community. It's an acknowledgement of the building that we have done over the past 4 years since I've been there. I've been with the YMCA of San Francisco for 10 years and in Bayview for four. And on that path, I have built some very significant, innovative programs that will move some of our youth toward a better place in their lives.
Okay, so I'd like to ask about that. How can you tell that you've made a difference in these programs? What do you see 4 years later after you started?
Well, I see young people graduating high school. I see families who are moving towards a better place in their lives for sustainability, more engagement in our own community. I see a community coming to life and people moving around. I see de-isolation of families engaging in community activities. And
do they do that at the Y?
They do it at the Y. They do it at the Opera House. They do it all over Bayview Hunters Point. There's a lot of movement going on. The traditional perceptions of our community are changing, even though we still deal with and struggle with many issues as of yesterday. In our community, I think the community is beginning to find a way to take itself back.
How nice.
Yeah, and we're a part of that by supporting families and children in that community.
Nice. Okay, thank you. Tell us about you. Tell us about your life and, and what has made... Where were you raised? Where are you from?
I was born and raised in Bayview Hunters Point.
Oh, okay, good.
And I'm totally a product of that generation coming out where parents would tell their kids, you know, you get your education so you can get out. You know, we weren't told to come back to our community, but I think we understood that that was a way that we needed to do to come back to help families and young people understand what that means to get an education.
But that's really such an interesting point you make, though, because you do hear that. Get your education so you can get out.
Right.
In other words, not worth salvation. Not worth anything. Just get out. It's only something to run from, not something to make better.
Right, and you know, even though you know back then it was truly a village raising the children. My mom said, you know, you want to see the world, you want to experience different things. We used to get on a bus and go to Pacific Heights. My mom had six kids, and we go see all the big houses in Pacific Heights because she wanted us to be exposed to other things and not be blinded by the demographics.
Oh, also, that's really nice because there's something about wherever you are, you want to see more of the world.
Absolutely.
You don't want to think your own backyard is the entire world.
Right, right.
But you don't want to have to be propelled to leave it and think ill of it.
Exactly. I have no ill feeling. I love the community that I grew up in back then. And, you know, at some point, I guess that's why I'm back as a leader in my community, to bring some of those traditional foundational type things back. And I think it's what brought me back to my community to help support moving the community forward. And it's very important to me.
Good.
I go to church in Bayview Hunters Point. I run a food pantry out of my church on my own personal. So I'm in Bayview 8 days a week, if you can consider that.
I can.
Something with work and my own personal life. I met my husband at my church in Bayview Hunters
Point. Okay, so talk about that. Talk about growing up. So you...
Well, grew up on top of the hill on West Point, and my mom moved out when I was 14 to Oakdale. Avenue, which is still in Bayview, and my mom still lives there right now. And so it was a fun show. It was happy poverty. That's
nice.
The best way I like to say it.
Oh, that's so nice.
You know,
that's
we weren't nice. All competing for tennis shoes and cell phones. We were all in the same level and having fun, and I can go to anybody's house and eat, and if kids were hungry, my mom's house was sort of the grab zone where people can come and grab and go, and it's a lot of love and community back then.
And what about your own, like, dating and romance? And
well, I was I went to O'Hallos Catholic School, which is actually where the Bayview Huntersport YMCA is located now, in the old O'Hallos Catholic School that I graduated from in 1977. So my mom wanted to put me on a spiritual path, and my brothers and sisters on a spiritual path with the only Catholic school in our community. And in that, you know, there's a lot of other things going on, but I did find a faith, whether it's very apparent now or not, it was a foundation for me, and it has guided me to where I am right now, actually giving back to my own spiritual community and faith community. But, you know, it was happy poverty. We had fun, you know. We never went hungry. We always had basic needs. The bottom of the triangle of Maslow's triangle was fulfilled, and we were all compelled to want to do better. Mm-hmm. Just like coming out of slavery in the South. Families in the South were very poor, but they knew a way out was education, and I think that's what our parents instilled in us.
So I'm getting the feeling that it's not a matter so much of where a person lives, but what kind of hope and intelligence lives there too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, it's a sense of community. Yeah. It's everything. And so we took care of each other.
Yeah. And do you have your own family now? Are you married?
I met my husband. We've been married 10 years this in June.
Well, tell us about that.
I met him after a 16-year relationship with my kids' dad and my first three boys. Mm-hmm. We never married. But, you know, it was great. I'm glad.
But was he there as a father?
He was there.
Oh, good.
He was there. You know, you can be there as a father, but not there really in the relationship present for the entire family.
Well, I think that can be two different things. Being a good father and being a good spouse don't necessarily.
They're not the same.
No, two different talents.
They're not the same. Yeah. And so I was blessed that my kids had a good father. But I was looking for something different for me. And exiting that relationship, I met a wonderful man.
How'd you meet him?
He was playing in a choir one day.
Okay. I always like the women who are listening to know where women met the good man.
I have to tell you, you know, my husband is Jewish.
Let's talk about this. Uh-huh.
And he was playing in a black Catholic gospel church. And I heard him sing one Sunday, and I was sitting in the back of the pews, and I was like, who is that singing? And I'm looking around, and I passed him up because it couldn't be him sounding like that.
No, why?
And because he sounded like Luther Vandross and Peter Bryson and Michael McDonald all in one.
Yeah.
I was like, nah. And so the next Sunday I went, I got a chance to meet him, and that was the path that I got on. I took one of the old singing members. Who is that guy? I have to meet him, you know?
And she said, that's just Reed. Just you liked his voice?
I liked his voice, and I think I fell in love with him at that moment.
Oh, that's what I'm asking. So
yeah.
You,
it was his voice. And then when I met him, his intelligence and his political views and things that he loves, you know, the things that we share together, all my weaknesses.
So what brought him to that church?
He was 19. And he's a musician, professional musician, and he was on his path at that point, and he found this church to play music, and at that point, he was just there playing music, and I'm like, you've been here for all these years, 16 years, and no one has grabbed you? Oh, my God. So, and from this point, we've been together 10 years. I have a son. We have an additional son. So I have four boys.
You want to tell us your name?
Damien, Darren, Drew, and Devin. All D's. I don't know why. That's just how it happened. And my husband's name is Reed. So
Reed?
Reed, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a really wonderful story. He has great parents, and my family's embraced him, and it's been a wonderful 10 years. So.
How nice.
Yeah. In lots of ways. And that's when you began work with the YMCA, right? 10 years ago?
10 years ago, I'd been with the Y for 10 years, and it's exactly when I... it was a tipping point for me and my family. Mm-hmm. And things happen that way, you know, out of the blue. So I embraced it and moved forward.
Well, things happening out of the blue, you talk about that. And I think I'm asking, I guess, really, do things happen out of the blue because you've got your eyes and your heart open to see them?
A lot of times we don't have our eyes and our hearts open, and we let a lot of things pass us by, and it can be very insignificant things. But at that point when I knew I needed to change who I was.
Now, how did you know that?
I was done in an old relationship. I had compelled myself back into faith. And
but was the old relationship being damaging for you at some point?
It wasn't damaging. It just wasn't about me.
Oh,
my
yeah.
self-esteem was low. I didn't know
damaging.
Who I was at that point. I had a dream of going back to school. I had went to San Francisco State from 81 to 87, finished 102 units, didn't graduate with three sons, mm-hmm. and I needed to work. And
wait, you say you didn't graduate or you
did? I didn't graduate,
uh-huh.
but I was a
close.
Senior.
Yeah.
And so in 2003, I graduated from Dominican University with my BA in psychology, and now I'm in a master's program at University of Phoenix for
Hooray.
A master's of science in psychology because that's been my dream.
Has it always? You
always
knew you were meant for that?
Always.
Because I was going to ask you what your talents were.
Yeah.
But that was
when you have three kids, I'm young.
How old were you when you had your first one?
21, but I was in school.
Yeah.
And so I had a wonderfully extended family that helped me. Well, I stayed in school, but I worked too. And it just became too much for three kids. And so I ended San Francisco State and ended up going to extended education and getting 12 more units in child development because I was working for Head Start at the time. And, but now I'm getting my master's in psychology. It's amazing. I'm so excited about that.
Good
so
for you.
Yeah,
don't
I graduated
you wish this were
December.
Television when you look at that beautiful face and that smile. Someday. I say that every once in a while. But
yeah.
I wish everybody could see what I'm seeing as you're talking.
Well, actually, you can if you go to the Jefferson Awards and
you
click on Gina Frommer,
perfect.
You can
you,
see her.
Yeah.
Okay. So where are you headed from this point, do you think?
You know, I was asked that question the other day, and I think, you know, once I get my master's, I love the YMCA. Mm-hmm. I love its mission. I love its movement and the ability to be innovative in a community that traditionally has not had a YMCA like in Presidio and Stonestown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that community deserves a fully functional YMCA. So my goal is to finish that project. We're in a capital project right now trying to raise money for our new child development, community teen center, community kitchen. We just finished another phase, elevator, stair tower, and all the ADA stuff. So we're moving. And I would say over the next 5 years, my commitment is to Bayview. After that, I want to use my master's degree
mm-hmm.
and counsel or teach. It's organizational psychology, which is what I'm really interested in.
I have an odd question,
sure.
I suppose. But you're just so in charge and so cheerfully in charge and with such expertise and such a way about you that it seems you know exactly what to get done and how to do it, from elevators to staircases to the huge things. Do you ever think about political office where you can get things done?
You must be the 10th person that's asked me that.
Well, if I'm the 10th person
that's
asked you that, then you've got 10 votes. Is it
something worth talking about? You know, it's interesting.
Because sometimes you feel power in a good way.
You do.
Person.
And I think I'm a very humble leader,
mm-hmm.
and I have a lot of humility because of where I come from. And one of the things I see, when I'm not done with one mission, I can't move forward to another.
Of course.
But I do know that,
you
know, I moved into Marin 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
In the heart of the violence in Bayview with my three sons who were teenagers at the time. I was really about saving their life. It wasn't about me. It was really about them.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're grown, and I have a six-year-old. And so, you know, I might at some point move back to San Francisco and decide to make a decision at some point to run for something. But right now...
You seem like such a totally effective human being.
Thank you so much.
And articulate.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's about balance. If you think about balance and what equity really means in our communities and in our lives, I feel like, you know, I have a really good balance right now in my three areas of faith, in my, you know, my spirituality, and my work, and my family.
But I was also really touched. I mean, Teresa and I are big on specifics in life.
Yeah.
You know, in letters. I like it everywhere. I'm a sucker for clarity. And you just fit that bill for me. But when you were talking about building, people so often talk about what they can build and what they can do. And you're talking about a staircase and an elevator and the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the practical, small things that get the huge things done.
Absolutely.
So I think that's just a treasure.
Well, you got to get the minutia done before you think about the dreams. And you know,
but they lead to the dreams.
They lead to the dreams. These
are
the steps you have to take. And I think as a mother, I do that with my boys as well. You know, you have to worry about the small things.
Or as Teresa was talking to me about something earlier today in a different context and talking about building a house
mm-hmm.
and what the foundation means and what the wall means and what the roof means, and you're in trouble if you start with the roof.
You have to start with a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in my community, building a foundation in that YMCA is going to lead to somebody else coming after me and being able to move forward.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can't build something like we're going to be the only ones there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You build something for everybody else, and I'm building my place in that community for somebody else to come behind me.
Yes.
So I can do great things later.
Oh, I'm so happy to meet you and hear about you. Well, let me ask, did you have a question,
Teresa? No, I'm just smiling.
You're just grinning. Okay, me too. but I want to ask, who would get your love letter today? You've done so much, and there's so many people who have been a big part of your life and touched it, I can see. And
Honestly, my son, who's 6 years old, his name is Devin, and my love letters to him because he came along, and I think I can share this because we're being kind of specific. I had made a decision not to have any more kids after my first three, and when I met my husband, I made a decision that we wanted another child, so I went and had a reversal. And I was,
That worked.
Yeah, it worked. 2 months later, I was pregnant. So he's a true gift. And he reminds me every day that, you know, there's a 16-year gap between my youngest, who's 22, and he's 6. Reminder that, you know, you're never too old to learn how to be patient. You're never too old to learn new things. And the way I raised my first three is totally different than the way I'm raising him now. Because his father, it's a different relationship between him and his dad and I. We are partners, true partners. And so there's no competition, and it feels like we're really sharing in his upbringing.
Sure.
And I think my older sons with my grandson, they're experiencing that as well. And I think it makes for a happy mix. And my love letter is to my six-year-old son today, who I adore.
So I think how you just started and... You know, the issue, of course, in writing to children is, do you want it to be something that he's going to read now or something more sophisticated and more truth than a child could handle that he would open maybe when he's 18 or both?
I think right now my son is very bright. And if I say, "Dear Devin, you are the light of my life. You give me reason to wake up every morning and you give me reason to try new things in my parenting. And try my patience of old ways that I used to have. And I just love you and adore you. And my commitment is to you for the rest of your life." And so that every day I wake up and think about him and my husband.
So ordinarily I take notes, but I'm not going to do this for you because you know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Have you ever written him a letter before?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Well, he's written me letters up to recently. And he says, on Mother's Day, he says to me, "You're so caring and loving, and you cook for me." I was just like, wow.
Good for
typical
him.
Male, you know, it was
like,
oh, my son. But it made me realize that those moments when we have dinner together and we're actually cooking meals and he's putting the flour in and all that, those are special moments for him. And I'm realizing they're special for me, too.
Okay, but so he says you cook for me, but now you're saying he helps you.
He helps me with the cooking.
Okay, so that's something to say in a letter, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I know I cook for you, but... I do it with you.
I do it with you.
Yeah, so that's a whole other lesson for those. It's hard to raise sons, I would think. Teresa and I have daughters.
Really? Oh, God, I would love to have a daughter, but I'm realizing that it would be a different experience for
so
me.
So different. I mean, I think somehow the responsibility in raising sons is huge. The responsibility on your shoulders to raise men who are fit for women.
Right.
And kind and good and responsible is a lot.
I mean, fit for society. I mean, you want them not only to be good husbands, but good people and values. And I think we struggle in our community with some of those ways that we used to have around that, where your kids knew not to hit seniors. Kids knew that certain things were bad. No matter what they did, it was just inside. And so we've lost a little bit of that.
Because I don't think those things are just inside. I think they get it by osmosis for maybe two generations.
Absolutely. And when you lose a generation, though, I'm saying it's missing.
Yes, that's right.
And so our goal is to really begin to rebuild as leaders.
You.
And there are many of Gina Fromers in Bayview that have come out of that community that want to help. And I think wherever my path leads me, it's going to be in that direction. Yeah. So
do you ever think of, I mean, I kind of like this just for sentimental reasons, I think, but do you ever think of writing him a letter that he isn't going to get to open till he's 18?
Yeah, I do.
And addressed to him and at your house somewhere in the treasure box and he doesn't get to open it. And then you get to say different things.
Right.
Like, I had decided not to have any more children.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I married your dad, I knew I wanted one more, and I knew I wanted something.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
What a gift. Because that's really, I think, an extra wonderful message.
I think so. And as I think back, you know, with all my boys, I would write a special letter to them.
Oh, nice.
Because each one of them was at a special time. I mean, my first one was... Oh, my God, I just wanted him. His name is special. My second one, every name is special to one of my sons. They just happen to all be D's. But, you know, all of them really keep me going. And
but how old are the rest of them?
26, 25, 22.
So they're adult men, so you
they're
could
adult
write
man. I have a grandson.
Anything you wanted to. How old's your grandson?
He's 3.
Okay.
And adorable.
Yes, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah. have a granddaughter, too. She's almost two.
Oh, so you got a girl
in
there.
She's in Montana, though. Oh. Very far away.
Yeah, that is very far away.
I haven't seen her since she was 3 months. But
yes.
Yeah.
So wonderful listening to you. So have you written to your other sons ever?
Over the years.
Yes.
Over the years.
And I'm just curious, do you know if they've kept these letters?
So my oldest one has. He says he has all his little box with all his stuff that I've given him.
Great. I like to hear
that.
That's
special. And boys are not that sentimental, you know. They kind of trek whatever they have with them, and that's it. But I'm pretty close to my sons, and so.
But letters are the kind of gifts I think people just don't, as a rule, throw away.
Mm-hmm.
And so in two generations, mm-hmm. your great-grandchildren are going to find those letters.
I know. And because of you, I'm going to start writing more, too, because of you right now.
Good, okay.
Because it's important.
You know why? Because this is your history written in your own hand.
Right.
And how wonderful, I mean, I'm going off on my own fantasy here, but how wonderful that's going to be, whatever you do in life, mm-hmm. for your great-grandchildren to know that they came from such a fine pedigree.
Oh, thank you.
They came from such fine people.
Right.
That's their birthright. That's their history.
Right. Right.
And how nice to know that. But also, let's say you do something huge in the public sphere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, or minor in the public. I've already got you running for president. But never mind. Okay. So let's say you do accomplish something enormous that's politically or historically important.
Mm-hmm.
These letters are going to be part of American history.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think every letter written by an American is part of American history anyway. But
some are more important than others.
Yes, definitely.
I think, you know, this is so important that you bring this up because our kids are so into electronics. I don't think writing is as important as it used to be.
God bless you.
I sit up in grad school. I'm right now just writing down. I'm taking notes. I don't use anything electronic. I use my hands. It's so much more fulfilling for
me. Doesn't it feel more
organic? And from the brain to the paper, it's a different kind of experience than the brain to the electronic device.
Right, right.
And I think we have to begin to write those letters. And, you know, if there's a mother out there, write a letter to every one of your kids and put up, and even if you give it to them next year, like a treasure box.
Right.
You know, it's important because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring. You might not be here tomorrow.
Oh, God
bless
you.
So those letters are very important.
So you and I can just leave and let Tina talk.
Yes, you can have the rest of this program because Teresa closes most every show saying, say what you feel while you still have the chance.
Yeah.
And you're right. You don't know what tomorrow brings.
Right. My grandma just made 90, and she got sick, and she's doing much better now. But every day is an experience for her. And we come from a strong matriarchal family.
And you know
those are letters we need to write.
And every story that hits the paper about found letters is like with Jackie Robinson and
oh my God, I know.
That 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Headlines in his own handwriting.
Yeah.
Donna Reed in her own handwriting. Yeah. It's the handwriting.
Absolutely. So the Kennedy letters to Martin Luther King letters.
Yes.
His letter from Birmingham jail. I mean, those are incredible. If you didn't write that, if you had some sort of email, we wouldn't have it in writing right now, right?
That's right.
Also, in email, where's the proof that you were there?
Yeah, somebody else could have wrote that. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you about your sons. Do they write letters to you?
They do. And actually, for Mother's Day, remember, Mother's Day just passed, and every one of them wrote me a beautiful card.
Great.
One of my sons, I have to say this, he's 25, Darren. He bought a cookbook, and he wrote, Mom, maybe we can pick a couple of recipes a month and cook together. And this is a 25-year-old man. And I was like, wow, how special is that? Because cooking is a part of our culture, and it's traditionally an African-American family has brought families together, and we've told a lot of stories. You know, and my grandma, my mom, all she does is write. She, you know, so,
sure.
And I know she wrote some letters, so when she's gone, she wants us to open.
Yeah.
So letters are very important.
Good.
I'm so glad
you guys really know that.
You
really found the right person here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go home and write letters to all my sons tonight, right?
Good. Oh, that's what
very
we like. We
important.
Say we're the only show that you go home with homework, but you seem like to be so willing and eager to do it.
I'm absolutely
so happy.
Very important.
Okay, and
thank
it's a
you.
Gift.
Well, and I'm glad to hear that your sons are writing, too, because we had a love letter to the Dear Squad. We ask our listeners to send us letters about awareness that it's mostly women write thank you notes. And you can find this on our website. You'll see the answer. But, Janet, go ahead.
Well, I don't know why. Somebody with Dear signed it perplexed. Well, I'm perplexed also because I'm thinking all the thank you notes I ever get are from women. How about you?
I think men write. My husband is a writer. I mean,
and he writes thank you notes.
Oh, he writes notes.
Okay,
he
wonderful.
Writes letters.
Good,
he writes letters to the editor. He's totally a writer.
That's wonderful. As a rule, it's the women of the couple who take that chore on, the thank you note.
Well, women are more, we like to see our stuff in writing. It's more sensibilities. That's that sense and sensibilities that women have.
Yes.
And I think on paper is really significant for us. you know, men like to say it and they forget, but we like to keep and go back and read what
we wrote. That's a whole other issue, too, because what you write down in these love letters is as good as a contract.
Yeah.
You know, you've written it, you've signed it, you've dated it, so, right. Yes.
Well, in history, if you go back, you know, they use their finger, they write the letters, and they had the little mark that they put in there and wax. So writing is very important. Yes. I hope we don't lose that as a society.
Yes.
Because
and the handwriting. I read an article not too long ago in the paper about some, in the Middle East, I think, in, you know, some ancient Israeli urn was found or something, mm-hmm. and it was they made the point that it was in the actual writing of the scribe. Well, there were no choices then but that, but they still mention it's the handwriting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, 3,000 years ago, they're still saying it's the handwriting.
What do you think? All the writing on the walls in the pyramids, we wouldn't have had if they didn't write it down. We wouldn't have had all that knowledge.
So many. And by the way, I want to say, I mean, I'm kind of traveling here, but even graffiti. When you see graffiti, it's somebody saying, here I am, here I was, this is my...
It's art.
Well, it is. But
and writing is art as
well. And this is my signature.
Yeah, absolutely.
All over your wall, but somebody's got to know I was here.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Maybe a new way to do it.
Tina, maybe you know the answer to this. Is cursive writing being taught in schools now?
It's not. My mother has the most beautiful cursive writing, and she wrote all her papers to get her B.A., In handwriting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She never typed anything.
Right.
Cursive is something I don't think they teach anymore. Remember, we used to have to do the tracing?
Yes.
I used to hate those things, but we learned how to write.
Yes.
I don't think they teach that in school. My son is in first grade, and I remember getting that way when I was young.
But they teach him to print.
They teach you to print, but it's not about cursive. You know, cursive is a beautiful way, you know.
It's a real art form.
Oh,
yes.
It is
an
art form.
Of course it is.
Totally.
Yeah. Don't teach cursive.
And it's easier than printing. I mean, it flows. Printing is whatever.
Exactly.
Cool. So that's another whole campaign
we
need to start.
Go back to cursive writing in school.
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming to do this with us. This
Thank
has
you.
Been a pleasure and a half talking
I'm
to you.
I'm always honored to talk about what I love and my passion
I can
and my
see
family.
That.
So thank you very much.
And you do it so beautifully.
So we wish you the best. Thank
I
you.
Appreciate
Thank
that.
You for being here. And we thank all of our listeners for joining us and hope you'll join us every week at this time. Spread the news. Let others know about the show. And welcome them to listen as well. And once again, we remind you to put your loving thoughts into words on paper and send them when you still have the chance.
And remember that when you write a beautiful love letter, it is your chance to put your best self on paper forever.
So till next time, this is Teresa
and Janet
saying bye-bye.
Bye.